up, guys? Hey, again, I know Jonathan introduced me, but my name's Will McElroy. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, I'm serving with Shoreline. I've been there the last 6 months, and I'm excited to be here because I hope someday you guys are able to come check Shoreline out in a few years, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But this series, let's face it, I'm excited to see where the series goes, and I'm excited to kick it off. And I want to start off by just facing the reality of this world, which we're living in a clickbait culture, right? Just the reality is, let's face it, there's articles everywhere that, and I fall for it every time. It works because I fall for it, and I'm always just clicking on articles that say, hey, 10 crazy facts that are 100% true all the time. And they're just not. Right, and so there are myths in this world that the world is selling you that we just take for granted, and they're not true. And so let me just look at them for a second. The first one is this. The first myth is it takes 7 years to digest gum. Who's heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Yeah, look, all of us have heard it, and I looked it up. Your body doesn't digest gum, but it doesn't sit 7 years in your stomach. In fact, it goes out real quick, and you can prove this at home yourself. Go swallow some gum and check it out. The second myth is this. Cracking knuckles causes arthritis. Raise your hand if you've heard that one before. Yeah. Now listen, this is the craziest thing I read when I was reading these. Is I used to be a knuckle cracker, and my mom would always tell me not to do it. And so I was like, yeah, right, Mom, and I'd still do it. But this one guy, his name's Dr. Donald Unger. His mom told him the same thing. Don't crack your knuckles because it causes arthritis. And to prove her wrong, for 60 years of his life, the next 60 years of his life, he only cracked the knuckles on his right hand and not his left hand. And at the end of his life, he had doctors and scientists look at him to see if there was any difference between his hands, and there weren't. And so science does not back that up. Cracking your knuckles does not cause arthritis, although it could be annoying. The last one. The last myth that is wrong is if you shave, your hair will grow back thicker. Now, look, it's not true. And when I was in seventh grade, eighth grade, I was hoping for this one to be true because my buddies were starting to shave. They were starting to be able to grow mustaches and beard, and they were shaving, and I was jealous of them. I was like, man, I wish I could have a beard. And so I'd go home and like shave my peach fuzz, and it never came back. I was expecting a magical beard to grow in its place, but it never came back. And so science refutes the claim that shaving will cause your hair to grow back thicker. And so there are tons and tons of myths that we just take for granted, and I could go on and on about them. But the reason I start there is I know that these are just some silly, funny myths, but the reality is that this world is telling you lies framed as truths all the time. Whether they do it on purpose or not, you're going to be sold lie after lie in this world. And as we enter the series, and today we're going to be talking about loneliness, I know that there are lies that the world is telling you, myths that the world is telling you about loneliness, how to cure it, how to confront it. And I want to respond to some of those myths with some truths that I hope are backed up by God's word. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at a few myths that you may have heard or you may be thinking in your mind and respond with truth. And so the first myth is this. If I have more friends, I won't be as lonely. So some of you right now in this room, you may be feeling lonely. In fact, here's a stat, and you can go fact check this, so that way I'm not just spewing myths, but I read a statistic that 79% of our generation, Gen Z, and I say our generation because I'm actually a Gen Zer. I'm on the older end of you guys, so y'all are the younger end of Gen Z. I'm the older end, and 79% of our generation has said they feel lonely. And so that means most of the people in this room right now, if that statistic is true, have felt lonely or are currently feeling lonely. And I think this is amazing because our generation is the most connected generation to ever live. Maybe if you have phones, you're probably on social media or you're going to school every day and seeing dozens and dozens of people and your friends. I go to work every day and I'm surrounded by people. We're all connected, socially connected, and yet we are all claiming that we're feeling lonely at times. And so the myth that says if I have more friends, I won't be as lonely is simply not true. But what I do think is true is that you do not need more friends. You need the right friends. Look at Proverbs 18:24 with me. It says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And so right here, the Bible is saying, hey, some of you have many companions. Some of you have just gathered up a social circle that is not supposed to fail, that you have dozens and dozens of people to turn to all the time. You're constantly surrounding yourself with people, yet you're still lonely. You're still coming to ruin, as it said. And it's saying right here, what you need is a friend that will stick closer than family, than a brother. And so I think a lot of times when we're facing an issue in our own heart, we try to cover it up, right? We try to cover it up with worldly things. And in this point, we're trying to cover it up with more friends. And so maybe you're feeling lonely and you're like, man, if only I had more friends. I need more people to surround my life with. When the root of the problem is, I don't think you need more friends. I think you need the right friends. Genesis 2:18, when God created the world, he looked at Adam alone and he said, this is not good. And so he created Eve, a helper for him. And so God knows you need community. God knows you need friends, but he wants it to be the right friends. You see, the root issue is that I think some of you feel alone and lonely because you're not known. And so maybe, this might not be true for all of us, but maybe if you feel lonely out there, it's because you have a lot of people around you that don't know you. You have a lot of people around you that if they really found out what went through your mind, what went through your head, what you did, they wouldn't be your friend anymore. They wouldn't love you. That you're trying to put on this false facade of the cool kid or the sports kid or whatever it may be. And that if they really found out who you were, they wouldn't be your friend anymore. And so just an analogy to look at, and I hope this helps illustrate my point, is I have a truck. It's an old truck, a 2007 Chevy Silverado. It's a pickup truck. It's got its bumps and bruises. It's missing some paint. It's got a few dents in it. But if you needed a ride for some reason, you would look at my truck and be like, I can trust that truck. It doesn't look pretty, but it will get me from point A to point B. You would trust it. You would gladly hop in. Now, a year ago, you would have been wrong. You would have been wrong to say that, because a year ago, at any moment, my truck would just turn off while driving it. And I literally mean turn off. I'd be driving down the busiest roads in Dallas, 635, 75, I-30, and my truck would literally turn off. Like the engine would turn off, and I would just be as quickly as possible trying to find an exit ramp so I don't die. And after a month of this happening, and it could happen anytime, you never knew when, I was like, I need to get this fixed, because if I don't, it's going to wreck and crash and burn. And so I took it to a mechanic, and the mechanic said, I can fix it. And I was like, okay, as long as it's quick and cheap. And he was quick and cheap, fixed one part, and then a week later, guess what happened? It did the same thing. I take it to another mechanic, same thing. I tried to take the quick and cheap route, and he said he would fix it, and he fixed it, and it worked for about a week, and then the problem persisted. And then I went to a guy named Steve. Yeah. And y'all already know my man Steve, 75 years old. This guy's not a mechanic. He's just a good old boy. He says, well, I think I can fix it, but you're going to need to give me like a week or two. And so I take it to Steve, and he said, it's a wiring problem. And so this man goes into my truck and pulls out all the old wires, completely strips it down, and replaces it. He goes to the root of the issue and completely replaces it like new. And guess what? My truck, it has not broken down since then at all. It's been fine. And so, let's go, Steve. And y'all already know why I'm telling you this story. Because a lot of you are like what I was trying to do. Y'all are just trying to cover up the problem, right? Y'all are trying to cover up the problem with loneliness, with more friends. Y'all are trying the quick fix, the easy fix. When in reality, there's a deeper issue going on. There's a deeper issue going on And you need to get to the root of that issue. And I think the root of loneliness is often that we're not known by our friends. We're coasting through life. You have a wide social circle, but no one really knows you. And so I would encourage you today at your next small group, if that is you, to make yourself known, to have the courage to say, hey, this may sound weird, but I want to just tell you everything I'm going through. And just to pull someone aside, pull your leader aside, and to make yourself known. So point one, the myth. If I have more friends, I won't be as lonely. But the truth is that you don't need more friends. You need the right friends, people who know you and who will walk with you and care for you and love you. Let's go to the second myth. This one builds off the first one, but it says, more freedom will mean less loneliness. And the truth is, by having less, I think you'll have more. And so what do I mean by more freedom will mean less loneliness? Well, I think when I was your age, and even if I'm confessing and being honest, I still tell myself these lies, is that oftentimes when we're lonely, we're telling ourselves like, man, I won't be as lonely when I can finally drive. I won't be as lonely when I can finally have a phone, and that way I can be in that group text or have Snapchat or social media. I won't be as lonely when I can date. And we're telling ourselves all of these lies that, again, that if I can just keep adding more and more and have more freedom, I won't be lonely. But I think the Bible teaches that by having less, you'll have more. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 1:14. This is written by King Solomon. Now, King Solomon, this guy was the richest man on earth to ever live by some statistics. And this is what he says at the start of this book of Ecclesiastes. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless. King Solomon had hundreds of wives. He had hundreds of friends. People from across the world were telling him, hey, sending him gifts, please be our friend. He had all the money he ever needed, and he says all of it was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And so I think that more freedom can cause more problems. Another story. When I was maybe a little bit older than you guys, I had another taste of freedom, a step in the right direction in my mind. I finally got my first debit card. I didn't have to keep carrying cash around, you know what I'm saying? So I had my first debit card, and I was pumped. Like, I finally looked good. I loaded it with, like, 20 bucks, you know, and so I was ready. And here's what happened. I wasn't ready for this freedom because I would go buy something. You know, now I'm down to 15 bucks. And I would go buy something else, and I was down to $9. And I never checked my bank account. I just kept swiping, and I was like, it will decline my card when I run out of money, right? And so I just keep buying. And after a few weeks, I just keep swiping and swiping. And I had never heard of, and I don't think some of you guys have heard of, overdraft fees. And so I got a debit card, and I went to go buy my pumpkin spice latte for $5 when I only had, let's say, $3 in my bank account. And so what overdraft fees do, the bank says, hey, Will, we know you don't have enough money for that pumpkin spice latte, but we'll cover it for you at a cost with an overdraft fee. And they charge you $30 for every time you overdraft. Every time you spend money you don't have, they tack on an extra $30. And so I'm swiping. I'm buying stuff. I'm living it up, right? I go buy my pumpkin spice latte, and I'm like, this doesn't seem right. I should be out of money by now. And I open my bank account. -$400. And my mom didn't pay for it. And so I thought that freedom would bring me more joy. I thought that the freedom and the step in the right direction of having my own card would bring me more joy when really it cost me. And so I think some of you are lonely. And you're thinking that once I have more freedom, once I can be in that group text or have that social media or be able to drive, my loneliness will be cured. I'll be more connected. And I'm telling you, if you believe that, it's going to cost you. Because by having less, I think you'll have more. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say go to social media, go to things of the world, just wait till you have your driver's license and then you'll have rest. No, Jesus is saying today, if you're anxious, if you're tired, if you're lonely, depressed, come to me and I will give you rest. And so those are the first two myths. If I have more friends, I won't be as lonely. I don't think that's true. I think you need the right friends. Second myth was more freedom will mean less loneliness. I don't think that's true. I think if you find your joy in freedom, it's going to cost you. And what you need is not more but less. You need Christ in your heart. And the last one, I don't have a slide for this last one because I want you all to not be focusing on a screen or even your notes. I want you to look at me. There will come a day for everyone. And if you're a Christian, this is true for you too. There will come a day where maybe you have godly friends in your life. That you're doing the right things. You know, you're studying God's word and you're trying to harness. And there will come a day where you still feel alone, where you're left all alone. And the world is going to tell you that you're all by yourself, right? You're backed in the corner. You're in the lion's den. It's all up to you now. You're alone. And that is the greatest lie ever told. Because if you've read your Bible, if you're a believer, then you know that you never have to be alone. That even when the world's failed you, even when you're being bullied, even when you put your faith in things of this world, even though your friends may have betrayed you, let you down, lied to you, even if there's turmoil going on in your house with your family, you're not alone if you've given your life to Christ. And so I want to read John 16:32. This is Jesus speaking. And he says to his disciples, you will leave me all alone. And if you've read the Gospels, then you know that's true. Jesus makes a prophecy here. He's telling his disciples, you will leave me all alone. He was betrayed. His friends ran. After Jesus died, they cowered. They hid. They returned to their old jobs, their old lives. And so Jesus was right. He was left all alone when it mattered. He had nothing. And then he says, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And so I'm telling you today that some of you may feel alone. And you may be asking, why do I feel alone? I do have godly friends, Will. I am not trusting in the things of this world. Yet I still feel alone. And if you feel like that, and if you haven't felt like that, I promise you, you will someday. And I want you to remind yourself of these words of Jesus and say, yet I am not alone, for God is with me. And so if you've given your life to Christ, if you believe that he came to earth and died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that is the true historical fact, if you believe that, and you've asked God to enter into your heart and his Holy Spirit is in your heart, then I promise you, you will never be alone in this world. This happened to me when I was 18. This feeling I'm talking about. I was at college, and I'd built this perfect life for me, right? I had a wide social circle. I was, I would say, popular by the world standards. I was in college, running track and cross country. Had a great, great track season going. I had a girlfriend, and then one day, all of this started to fail me. I became heartbroken. I was injured. I had to sit out the rest of the season. I started failing my classes, and I felt alone. And I was walking back to my dorm room one day. It was a rainy, cold day, and this guy, he was just out there, and he stopped me, and he said, hey, I don't know why, but I feel like God wants me to pray for you. And I didn't care about Christianity at this time, and he prayed for me. And he told me to go read a story in the gospel called The Prodigal Son, Luke chapter 15. And I asked Christ just to make me new again, as Josh was saying, to make me a new creation again. And even though by the world standards, in that moment, I was alone. My friends had failed me. Grades had failed me. Running sports had failed me. By all standards, I should have been alone. And in that moment, I was the least alone I had ever been in my life, because Christ was with me. So if you're feeling alone tonight, today, I want you to remind yourself of this truth. If you're a believer, if you've asked Christ into your heart, you never have to be alone again. And if you're still wondering, well, that's great, but where are my godly friends at? I want godly friends. I would say Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. And God knows that it is a need for you to be surrounded by godly people. And so I would say pray for it. Ask God for it. Ask God for godly people, for him to show you his people. And I would say a good place to start is right here in this room. Look around to your leaders. And if you're lonely, confess that to your leaders and your small group and say, hey, I've been feeling alone. Can y'all help me? But again, at the end of the day, what I want you to understand is that you never have to be alone, because Christ is living in your heart. And so just to recap, one myth is that if we have more friends, we won't be as lonely. Again, I've said it. I don't think it's true. I think you need the right friends. I think God wants you to have godly community. He doesn't want you to have 10,000 Instagram followers. If you have that, great. But what he wants more than anything is for you to be known by people. Second point is, more freedom will mean less loneliness. Again, I don't think that is statistically true, and I don't think the Bible says that's true. I think what we need is not more, but less. And if you have less, I think you'll have more in Christ. And then the last point is, there will be a day where everyone's left you, where it seems like the world has failed you. And in that moment, the world is going to tell you you're alone, and that is a lie. You never have to be alone if you have Christ. So let me pray. God, I thank you for this day, and I know that the pains and hurts of loneliness and anxiety and fear are real, but your word says, do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. And so, God, I pray that we just tell ourselves over and over the promises and truths of Scripture, that we never have to fear. We never have to feel lonely again, because you are with us, God. And so let us remind ourselves of that today. In your name I pray. Amen.